It's 12:06 and time for Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOY. If you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia along with Judy Bruno this afternoon on Wednesday. We're talking about alcoholism, addiction, what you need to know if you or a loved one has a problem, the warning signs, and treatment options. She's from Park Center. And Judy, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off, Judy, with the basics for our listeners. How would you define addiction?
Well, the general definition we work with is a chronic, progressive, incurable, potentially lethal disease of the brain and characterized by loss of control.
Mm-hmm. And is that the same definition for both alcoholism and drug addiction?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Loss of control is the defining symptom, but yes, it all pertains.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some of the, if some of our listeners are listening and they think that they may have a drug addiction problem, I kind of want to walk people through, what are some of the warning signs that they should be aware of?
Well, one of the first things is loss of control. Have you ever done something you didn't want to do because you couldn't stop yourself, if mm-hmm. you drank more than you intended to, if you couldn't control it, if you couldn't predict with any degree of accuracy how you're going to be affected that first drink, you know, whether you're going to have 2 or 20, that gives you an idea. Most of the times, if you're questioning your drinking or drug use, there probably is a problem right there just to kind of take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have too many, more than your friends, and you've got a high tolerance, you maybe have some severe withdrawals, those are some other symptoms, but not necessarily the defining symptom like loss of control.
Okay. And on the flip side of that, if you're somebody who may be watching somebody experience a possible addiction, what are some of the warning signs for those kind of people outside of the problem?
A lot of times you'll find out they're hiding things. Hiding their drugs or alcohol, or going out more frequently. Legal troubles is usually a good sign too, because a lot of times once you're arrested, that's a sign that you've gone beyond the limit. If you're having medical problems, accidents, acid reflux, little things like that can be an indicator. But if it gets in the way, if they're spending more time drinking than they are with family, they show up late and leave early so they can go use, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the first steps that those folks who are kind of bearing witness to this problem, what are some of the first things that they should be doing?
Well, they probably should talk to them about it and say, these are some things I'm seeing. This is what I'm kind of worried about. And then just kind of watch how they respond. If they kind of respond with a very defensive, strong denial, then you may need to back off, and that probably indicates there might be something there. You can also, check literature and stuff. There's tons of stuff out there, and see what you're thinking. But you also need to understand how it affects you. And like Al-Anon, we mentioned before, get to an Al-Anon meeting, see how it affects you and what you can change, because you can only change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change the addict, but just open up the lines of communication and say, I'm worried and concerned, and what can we do to help you?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Al-Anon for some folks that don't know what that is exactly. Right. What does it stand for, and what does it do exactly?
I'm not sure what it stands for. Al-Anon is for people who have an addict in their life,
mm-hmm.
either family or spouse or friend, and they want to know how to help,
mm-hmm.
and how to make sure that they're doing the right thing, not crowding them, not backing away too much, but just doing what they can do to make their life easier in managing this alcoholic or addict in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in conjunction with the 12-step program, which is AA, NA, CA, MA, There's lots of A's, GA, but they run a 12-step program to help people get sober, and they are a very successful program. Mm-hmm. I think I just saw a study where a good percentage of them are sober still 5 years later. I think it was like 60% still sober after 5 years, which is pretty phenomenal, mm-hmm. considering a lot of the court-ordered people that are ordered to attend 12-step meetings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about addiction and it being a disease, but there's also the factor of using that addiction and becoming abusive, or abuse being in the equation. When does that line get crossed between addiction and abuse, or does it ever get crossed? Or they go hand in hand?
Well, if I understand you right, you're kind of looking at what's the source of the problem.
Yeah.
A good percentage of the source is a genetic. There's a genetic equation, significant genetic symptoms and signs that lead to that. So a good probably 60 to 70% is a genetic factor. If there's no genetic history in your family, then it's unlikely. But there's also the fact that you can drink or use drugs to the point where you change your brain to the addiction pattern, and the part of the brain that is affected by that, the nucleus accumbens, leads you into addiction mm-hmm. for all drugs. And then we have to have people stop all drugs, not just alcohol or the drug of choice they uh-huh. have.
And how long does it take to actually become addicted?
I think it probably varies. If you're drinking yourself to addiction, it may take longer than, say, if you're using cocaine to the point of addiction, because cocaine is a lot more heavy duty in that. I don't know that there's a lot of studies on that. I think they've done a lot more studies on the genetics, and those have a high component. And there's several different types of genetic, mm-hmm. the male-to-male and then the general. And so there are also different types of, like, you know, some are alcohol history, and then you've got somebody who uses marijuana. Well, I'm not an alcoholic like my dad, but I use marijuana kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So it can switch drugs and that kind of stuff. But I don't know that there's a lot of studies on that mm-hmm. in particular.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have any questions or comments. The lines are right open. Today we're talking about addiction treatment, the warning signs, and what you need to know if you are somebody that is suffering from addiction, or if you know somebody who is, and how to take care of yourself that way as well. To help us through the conversation today, we have Judy Bruno, who is from Park Center, and she is an addiction specialist there. Let's talk a little bit about Park Center and the work that you do there. Talk a little bit about the facility and who is coming in your doors on a daily basis.
Well, Park Center has a main campus on State, 909 East State, and that's where they take a bulk of the clients. Our office for addictions is over on Carew, and we deal with addictions on the main floor, and upstairs is a subacute hospital, and below is an assortment of different services, from employment to case management. In the addictions department, we take people with whatever addiction they have, even process addictions such as gambling, shoplifting, spending money type of things, all types of things. And they don't get separate groups. We have just main groups that we treat people based on their level of need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you are pregnant, you're going to get a special bump up, because we want to get you sober, because that really can affect a baby. The different drugs affect the baby differently. We also want to understand that it's a lethal disease. People die from this. And so we want to get some of those people in treatment as fast as possible if they're at high risk
mm-hmm.
To hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost a few folks, and that's not fun. So we want to get them in as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before the show started that December is not really the busiest month for you all, even though it's a time where alcohol is increasing in consumption, but it's really the following months, the January and the February. Why is that?
Well, you know, they have a lot of police stops, and new, you know, advertisement and policemen out there making arrests for OWIs. And so we'll get a lot of those court referrals come January and February, when they start going to court and so forth. Probably the biggest risk in December is our own clients, trying to keep them sober, because it can get very difficult. When they're stressed, they want to use.
Sure, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, so we've talked a little bit about some of the more mental signs of addiction, the, you know, making poor judgments. What are some of the physical signs? Are there any?
With withdrawal, there's going to be more, but otherwise, you know, the addict or alcoholic is not going to necessarily appear, especially if they're sober. You're mm-hmm. not going to know them from anybody else. If they're withdrawing, you're going to maybe notice some shaking or some illness. They're going to be feeling uncomfortable. It depends on what kind of drug they're withdrawing from. But then under the influence, you're going to notice, too, they're mm-hmm. high or what have you. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, physically, you're just going to notice maybe shaking, withdrawals type, nausea, vomiting, muscle twitching.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that? When you get goosebumps.
Oh, goosebumps. Uh-huh.
I'm showing you. I'm showing you because this is like live uh-huh. TV, right?
Well, if you do have a question, it is live radio. You can give us a call at 260-452-1185. We're talking about addiction treatment, options for treatment, as well as the signs. So if you have a question about somebody that's in your life and you'd like to ask Judy, she is a certified specialist from addiction specialist from Park Center. So you have a great resource here right in the studio. And if talking in the phone isn't what you'd like to do today, you can always email us anonymously at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. So we've talked a little bit about Park Center helping those who are pregnant, not pregnant, men, women. What about HIV, AIDS, hepatitis? Do you all still see those people as well?
We've never discriminated against any of those folks coming in. In fact, we have a relationship with the Board of Health, Department of Health. I'm uh-huh. not sure what they call themselves these days, but she comes in, Rochelle comes in every mm-hmm. couple of months and gives a presentation to our people because they are at higher risk for things from TB to sexually transmitted diseases and so forth. And she comes in and gives our folks a talk and information and pamphlets and all sorts of things to help them be aware of what, you know, what problems they could face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break on the program, but we'll be back with more of Health 360 in just a few moments here on WBOI.
Eric James and his partner hoped to adopt a child, so they signed up with an agency, but they also made a website.
Essentially, we're just putting together this marketing campaign to sell ourselves to a birth parent.
As more hopeful families and pregnant women head online to connect, a new report warns of risks. I'm Neil Conan, Adoption and the Internet. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
He asked me out, and I have to say yes, because guess why? Ends up he had been driving around the block for a month waiting for me to come out, and nothing says love like stalking.
Join us next time for the Moth Radio Hour, True Stories Told Live, from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Wednesday nights at 9, here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Take charge of your financial future. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on NIPR's homepage at nipr.fm. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Cameron Memorial Community Hospital, providing health and wellness services in the spirit of charity, concern, and excellence, serving Steuben County and surrounding areas. Information at cameronmch.com.
Welcome back to Health 360 here on Midday Matters. The time is 12:21. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 260-452-1185. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio today with Judy Bruno, who is an addiction specialist from Park Center, to help us answer questions about alcoholism and addiction. We had a person write in, Jim wrote in with a question. Are alcoholics always more likely than the average person to become addicted to certain prescription drugs?
And the answer would be yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Once you have a brain nucleus accumbens part of your brain that has addiction tendencies, we discourage them from using any and all narcotic or addictive medications, because it's just going to rile up the nucleus accumbens to make you want what your preference is. Mm-hmm. But the nucleus accumbens will take any port in a storm. And so if they're handed a narcotic or anything else, they'll take that in lieu of. I always discourage my people from getting narcotics if they can avoid it. We don't allow people to take narcotic medications as a matter of course when they're in treatment, even if their drug addiction is to, say, to alcohol. We don't allow them. I even had one guy come in once. He was like, Judy, I broke my ankle and they gave me these pills. And before you know it, I'm taking 3, 4, or 5 at a time. Mm. What's that about? And I'd explain, no. You know, sometimes you are in severe pain and you have to take those, but somebody else needs to hold on to them. Mm-hmm. And you need to watch it. If you're at all able to, we suggest you take Tylenol, ibuprofen, and do the best you can with those. Mm-hmm. So yes, your brain, you may not know what morphine is, but your brain, nucleus accumbens, knows what it is, and mm-hmm. it's just going nuts waiting for you to fill that script.
Right. And we have Steve, who's online one with a question. Steve, welcome to Health 360.
Hi, real important topic. I've got over a decade of recovery in one of the local 12-step fellowships. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there are any treatment options which your guests would recommend people avoid. And if I can, the reason I'm asking is about a couple years ago there were some public service announcements for something which had a name similar to one of the local 12-step fellowships, mm-hmm. but it was actually a program affiliated with Scientology, which I've heard some disturbing stuff about. Anyway, so that's my question. Anything you think people should avoid?
In town, there's not a whole lot of some of the things that you should avoid. You're going to run into those. I recommend the 12 steps. There's a few programs like Celebrate Recovery that also use the 12 steps, and they're great. I've had a lot of people with success in those. I'm not familiar with the Scientology. I'm not sure which addiction treatments, specifically, you know, like a name of an organization, but I do want people to avoid anybody that doesn't use the medical model. There are people that don't recognize the disease concept, and I would certainly say avoid those. There are some self-help groups out there that will try to get you back to social drinking after a year of sobriety and stuff, and I would certainly avoid those. I don't think they know what they're talking about, and I think they're just really running a huge risk when they have people doing that. Mm. Does that make sense?
That sounds good.
Okay.
That fits with what I've experienced.
Okay. Congratulations.
Oh, he's gone. Thanks, Steve. And congratulations to, I think you said about at least 10 years.
Yes.
That's
congratulations.
Great. If you have a question or a comment, 260-452-1185 is the number you can call with any questions or comments. We're talking about addiction, alcohol addiction today. And in the studio, we have Judy Bruno, who is a addiction specialist at Park Center. And you can also email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. So we've talked about some things to avoid when searching for a good group to kind of form a sense of community. Is that what you're kind of looking for when you're seeking treatment? Or,
well, it's kind of odd how people that know each other can help each other, mm-hmm. or who have the same problem. You have families that deal in grief, and they get together because they know what that's about. For AA, I think the benefit, or any 12-step, I don't want to. But for those folks, it's also a matter of they can identify if you're playing games, too. Mm. They have meters that tell if you're making up stories and stuff, but they also can give the support and help that's for real that you need. They're not going to tell you to count to 10 or just, you know, it's okay to work in a bar. They'll tell you what and how to deal with stuff and not just placate you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Because they've been there.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about some kind of different addictions. You said gambling addiction as mm-hmm. well. What are some of the other addictions that you all treat that are not linked to a drug or alcohol?
Yeah, we don't get a whole lot of them much anymore. We used to deal with a lot more with gambling, but there's sex addicts, there's shopping addicts, there's theft,
mm-hmm.
And things like that. Anytime it feels compulsive, like mm-hmm. you need to do it, that can also be a part of an addiction.
Mm-hmm. There was somebody wrote in with a question asking about eating addiction. Is that something that Park Center helps with? Or?
Probably not so much in our department, mm-hmm. But in other departments, because that usually has to do with an anxiety kind of disorder. Control issues, though, are fairly similar. But we don't deal with that so much in our department.
Okay.
Because you need to involve nutritionists and doctors and all that sort of thing. And we haven't set that up in our department.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If somebody came to you with a kind of eating addiction, do you have any ideas on where to refer them to?
Oh, we would do it in Park Center, just not in the addictions department.
Okay. I see.
We'd refer them to another part of our agency. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Great. And we've been talking a lot about Park Center. Why don't we give the number in case folks are looking to some of the resources or the website?
Okay. Well, the website is a good place to start too, if you want to. I think it's 481-2700 is the main number. For addictions, it's 481-2800. At our website, we have a separate page just for the addictions department, and that'll get you a listing of meetings for Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholic Anonymous, Celebrate Recovery. It'll also give you some worksheets and some information to look up about whether or not you feel you have an addiction. So there's some good resources there if you just want to take a look at that. Yeah, you're pulling that up. We can also do random drug testing. We have education classes. So it's a good place to start if you need some information and how to get an appointment. A lot of times we can get people in within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we have always been striving for. And at this point, we're fairly close to that
mm-hmm.
Day turnaround because we do consider this a potentially lethal disease, and we want people in as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Plus, sometimes when they've decided to get treatment, there's a small window to actually get them in before uh-huh. they change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So door gets kind of heavy
mm-hmm.
when they walk in.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a lot of work that you're going to be a long road ahead. Which kind of brings me to my next question of, is there, I'm sure this varies from person to person, but is there any kind of timeline that you could give of how long it will take for somebody to be in outpatient services like with Park Center? Or is this, there doesn't seem like you can put a timestamp on it.
No, not so much. We put an average on it, but yesterday I graduated somebody with a fairly short period of time, but he engaged in all the things we asked him to right
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very committed to being sober, so it kind of worked out for him. That's not to say that people who take longer are not as successful. It's just everybody has their own path.
Right.
And for some, it takes a little longer, and for some, it's a little shorter, and some, it takes several slips or relapses before they get there, and everybody has their own path. But yeah, it can be done as quickly as a month and a half. I have some clients that are still coming after 6 to 12 months, but whatever it takes,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're there for them however long it takes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned relapsing, which is something that I wanted to make sure we covered for people that are not in the addiction or kind of bearing witness to it. What are some of the warning signs that they should be aware of if somebody looks like they are relapsing?
Usually you're going to see some thinking errors. You're going to see them making some poor decisions. You're going to hear them talking in matters of that are kind of irrational.
Mm-hmm.
Stressed is usually some of the things that started out. Emotional problems They don't like to deal with emotions very well or very much, and they don't deal with them very well either. Mm-hmm. And so if that's stress, it's sort of like a snowball rolling. And so you can start seeing some of that, and they start making excuses and ducking out. Mm-hmm. And being on their own and doing stuff and not thinking too clearly.
Okay.
And so when you start seeing some of that, then that may be a sign that relapse has happened or is on the way.
Okay. And as if you're somebody who's in the middle of the addiction, I mean, are you going to be aware that you want to relapse and that's something that's going to happen or could happen? Or
sometimes yes. I've had people tell me yes. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew this was coming, and I had somebody who started a group after 16 years of sobriety. She didn't relapse, she just felt it was coming.
Huh.
And so she started in, and I've had other people who I wound up at the bar before I even knew where I was going. Mm. And sometimes they stop, and thankfully, other times they relapse or slip. A relapse technically is after a long period of sobriety.
Okay.
But sometimes they see it coming, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 260-452-1185 is the number to call. Our phone lines are wide open. We're talking about addiction, alcoholism, warning signs, and treatment to this problem. And if you have a question, we have Judy Bruno, who is an addiction specialist from Park Center, joining us for the entire hour of today's show. You can also post on our Facebook page or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. We're going to take a quick break for the news, but we'll be back with more of Health 360 here on WBOI in just a few moments.
For NPR's Backseat Book Club, kids read, then share their thoughts with the authors.
I loved reading The Red Pyramid. I did a themed project in my class and made a time machine to go back to ancient Egypt.
Wow, what a great project. I'd love to see the time machine. That sounds fantastic.
Rick Riordan, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels is riding his signature covered campaign RV on a final trip after it first helped him win the governor's office 8 years ago. Daniels and staffers from his two campaigns departed in the vehicle, dubbed RV1, this morning from the State House in Indianapolis for the RV Hall of Fame in Elkhart. The small team wore shirts with, quote, "the final mile" printed on the back. The governor's office says Daniels has visited each of Indiana's 92 counties in the RV at least 5 times since starting his run for governor and has logged tens of thousands of miles. Daniels leaves office on January 14th and begins the next day in his new job as Purdue University's president. An Indiana man accused of setting a fire inside a mosque in Ohio is due in court. Documents in the case indicate the man may change his plea today in a Toledo federal courtroom. Randy Lynn of St. Joe, Indiana, was charged in October with one count each of intentionally defacing, damaging, and destroying religious property and using a fire to commit a felony. He later pleaded not guilty. A third charge of using and carrying a firearm to commit a crime of violence was added against him this week. Lynn is accused of breaking into the Islamic Center of Greater Toledo in September and using gasoline to start a fire in the second-floor prayer room. Authorities say Lynn had 3 firearms in his parked vehicle at the time. And police say 6 guns were removed from the home of a Bloomington youth who threatened a copycat school shooting, while students in 2 other Indiana cities have been arrested for making school violence threats. Bloomington police say the Bloomington South High School student is undergoing an evaluation after telling another student on Monday he had a gun in his locker. The Herald Times reports police say a search found he had no weapons at school and that the guns seized did not belong to him. Police in Jeffersonville and Terre Haute arrested boys on charges of making threats as well. The News and Tribune reports a 15-year-old Jeffersonville High student posted his threat on Facebook. The Tribune Star reports authorities say the 17-year-old Terre Haute South student made a written threat found Monday at school. The Fort Wayne Mad Ants faced the Canton Charge last night at the Coliseum. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the result.
And it wasn't pretty. With Miles Plumlee and Ron Howard in first half foul trouble, the Mad Ants managed to stay with the charge for a 48-48 tie at halftime. The second half was all Canton. They went up by 10 points after three quarters, and the Mad Ants never challenged. They lost 97-81, and that puts the Ants' record at 3-8 through their first 11 games. Now the real challenge is the Mad Ants have 10 of their next 13 games on the road. Tonight, the Comets will host the Cincinnati Cyclones for their first visit to the Coliseum with a face-off at 7:30. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
And let's take a quick look at the WBOI weather forecast. Today in Fort Wayne, expecting cloudy skies with a high near 45 degrees, calm winds becoming northeast winds right around 5 miles per hour. Overnight showers likely, then showers, possibly a thunderstorm a bit later on in the morning, a low around 40 degrees. And on Thursday, more showers, possibly a thunderstorm expected. We'll have a high near 50 degrees. You're listening to Midday Matters Health 360 here on 89.1 FM. Now back to Sarah DeLeon.
Welcome back to Health 360 here on WBOI. The time is 12:37. If you have a question or comment, 260-452-1185 is the number to call. You can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah DeLeon, joined in the studio this afternoon with Judy Bruno, who is an addiction specialist from Park Center, who's helping us answer questions about alcoholism and addiction. And we actually have a caller on line one. We have Kelly. Welcome to Health 360.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is, if we are associated and friends with a person who has become a very severe alcoholic, and he's to the point of his alcoholism that he has complete denial, he can control it, but he's blacking out at random places, gets to the point where he talks of suicide on a regular basis. They've tried to get him professional help, and he laughs about it, pretends to go to his AA meetings, and then he's at the bar or stopping at the liquor store. And we don't know how to sit or actually be able to confront him to the realization that we care about him, and we would like to have him around longer, and there's no talking to him. How can we convince him that he should just get help?
There's a couple of ways you can approach it. One is, if, you know, would he be willing or motivated to take care of the depression issue? Because that might be enough to get him in the door of a facility like Park Center or other facility, to get that addressed, and then have the doctor or therapist address the addiction stuff going on. We try to figure out what's going to motivate them. Is there somebody in his life that he'd be willing to do this for, where he'd be willing to say, hey, I'm willing to step up and get some sobriety or get some treatment for this person? A lot of times a child or a spouse will be the motivator to get them started. I'm not sure. I don't care what gets them started in treatment. Eventually, we're going to try to motivate them to do it for themselves. But sometimes if we can just find a little carrot to lead them in and get them started, then let the professionals do what they need to do. I don't think you need to convince them he has a drinking problem more than you need to say, hey, this is not normal to have this kind of depression, to be talking about killing yourself. We're concerned about you. Would you be willing to talk to somebody about what kind of treatment would work? A lot of times when people say they don't have a problem, they're basically under the impression of, I know I have a problem, I don't think I can fix it. So especially if it's an older person who's been doing this a long time, it's really hard for them to look at it and say, you know, if I admit I have a problem, I've got to fix it. And
sadly enough, he's not that old.
Well, if he's
we're
younger,
right around the age 40-ish.
Okay.
In the early 40s. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not that old.
Okay, well, then, even at 40s, you can start looking at, you know, is this what you want to do? Is this how you want to live your life? You know, or are there some other options? You can also look at, maybe he hasn't seen enough consequences. Unfortunately, some people need to see some arrests or some other medical consequences before they'll make a choice. But I would try to find what's going to motivate him to maybe get some help and start looking at it, and then let a therapist kind of ease into the whole addiction issue.
Right.
So if
friends
you
go, and family, we're just, what do we do? I mean, do we let him just?
I know.
I mean, you feel like your hands are tied because all it turns into is I'm going to, you know, do this, and whether you like it or not, I don't care how you feel about me. You know, love has been discussed and how much he means to everybody, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes you do have to sit at the sidelines and worry. Are they going to make it home? Are they going to make it through the night? And let them see the consequences. Also, I would continue to go to the AA meetings. You never know when something's going to stick. Bill W., the founder of AA, said, where the body is, the mind will follow. And sometimes inadvertently they get it and they hear somebody or somebody reaches them. So the more they can be around that, the better. Have somebody go with them. It's not a problem to go with somebody to an open meeting to try to help them out. But sometimes you just, you do need to go to Al-Anon and say, I feel so helpless. And Al-Anon people know about that. They know you can't control their drinking and drug use and how to sit by and wait for the opportunity to talk to them or when they're ready to listen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's gotten to the point of we don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Right.
Right. And he's done the meetings, he's lied to counselors, everything that a true addict will do, he's done it and mastered it.
Yeah, and he knows he's doing it, and he either is not ready to change, or he's afraid he'd fail. And either way, you know, sometimes it just takes some time for them to get maybe some more negative consequences, you know.
And I know, and it tears my husband up because he feels like his hands are tied and this person's been a part of his life. They've been friends forever and a day. And he's just, even when he's at home and he stops by, if he has a beer in his hand, he throws it away. Because he doesn't want to welcome that, open that door and say, here you go. You know, he just opened a beer after work, he throws it away because he doesn't want to encourage it.
Right.
Well, Kelly, and I'm not a professional and do not claim to be, but I mean, maybe a good first step would be to have him maybe listen to this podcast that's going to be posted later today at our website. And have him hear, your plea for his sobriety. I mean, that might be another good step to show that you're going to great lengths to kind of seek help on his behalf. And thank you so much for calling in. And we do hope that something good comes of all of this, and that hopefully in a couple of months he did go seek the treatment that he needs. But thank you for calling today.
Well, thank you for your help.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
260-452-1185, or you can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And don't forget, you can always post on our Facebook page with any questions or comments that you have. We're talking about addiction, finding treatment, getting help for either yourself or a loved one. In the studio today, we have Judy Bruno, who is an addiction specialist at Park Center, who is answering your questions and comments about addiction and the challenges that go into treating it. One thing that we haven't really touched on, Judy, that I'd like to, especially in the wake of the events of last week between the Connecticut shooting and the buzz that's been going on throughout the media, is mental illness. And if you treat those with mental illnesses that also have addiction problems, what goes on at Park Center with that type of person?
We call that a dual diagnosis because addiction is a very important or serious diagnosis, but also mental illness, especially serious mental illness. And a lot of times people with serious mental illness will try to treat themselves with street drugs. If they're bothered by the noise and the voices, they'll sometimes want to smoke marijuana to calm that down. If they're having a manic phase, they may want alcohol to depress that or slow that down. Sometimes they want something to jack it up some more because they enjoy that mania. So it's not unusual to have people with both a dual diagnosis, both serious diagnoses. And so we do treat a lot of that. We treat people with serious mental illness as well as people with mood disorders. So those two things go hand in hand. A lot of times, the drugs that people use cause mental illness. Any drug can cause any mental illness, if you use it too much. And so we also want to treat the mental illness, because if we're not treating the mental illness, the sobriety goes out the window as well. If they're then going to say, well, I'll just go use what I know works. And what I usually tell my folks is our drugs are better than your drugs. So let's see the doc. If you're still having depression and you're feeling like you want to smoke marijuana, well, let's see the doc and see what we can do for depression. If you're having ongoing struggles with cravings, let's see the doc and see what he can do about that. There are a lot of medications out there for people with addiction issues, and that can be helped.
We have a caller online, one who wanted to actually make a comment about the last caller that called in asking what she should do for a friend that is suffering from alcoholism but is in denial. Caller, welcome to Health 360.
Hey, thank you. Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Great show. I'm enjoying listening to you. I'm in recovery. I was sober for 12 years, and then I went back out and drank again. So we do have a daily reprieve from this disease of alcoholism based on the maintenance of the program principles. AA is a miracle.
Indeed.
And anybody that thinks it's blasé or passé doesn't know the program. I got sober again a year and a half ago, and I'm very happily sober. My heart went out to that lady who was calling for her friend, and I really thought that the suggestion of the host was excellent for her to listen to that podcast. But another thought that came into my mind is Al-Anon would be extremely helpful to her. And I was on the other end of that. I was one of those people that everybody was concerned about. And there is absolutely nothing anybody could have done for me until I hit bottom, which was to go in the hospital nearly dead from the disease and stay in the hospital 5 days and come out and realize, oh, yeah, I do have a problem, and got the help again. I would think that if she wrote a very direct letter to her friend and then simply detached. I mean, you can't change this person, obviously, and it's painful to be around them. And if, you know, if they come to you, you know, there's no reason to turn them away. But I'd write them a letter and directly address the problem, go to Al-Anon and pray for the person. AA is the best solution to the alcoholic problem. And one quick note, if anybody wants to learn a little bit about the guy that founded AA, there's an excellent documentary. It's called Bill W. It's about 2 hours long. You can find it on demand if you have Comcast. You can also stream it on Amazon or iTunes, and it's worth watching.
Is that the movie, My Name is Bill W.?
It's just called Bill W.
Okay.
It's not the movie with James Woods.
Okay.
It's a documentary about his life. It's
okay.
It's not a movie, and it's
okay.
Good.
Great advice. Thank you,
thank
and good
you.
Luck.
Thank you very much.
And we actually have Nick online, too, who also wanted to make a comment about Kelly's call. Nick, welcome to Health 360.
Hi, thanks. The reason I called is what she said absolutely touched me, because in the past 3 years, I lost my two best friends. Both drank themselves to death. And what I wanted to get across to her is, there is nothing you can do. You are not responsible. You can't live their life. You can lead the horse to water. You can't make them drink. And all you can do as a friend is just keep trying to lead them. However, on the other side of things, both of my friends who died, both died for the same reason. They had well-meaning family who let it happen forever. They just wouldn't stop. They kept paying their bills. They kept covering for them. They kept covering for their lives. And both of those people really are dead because their family just couldn't stop trying to take care of them. And you can't take care of them. You have to let them feel the pain of what they're doing. And part of that is just throwing them out and making them feel the pain so much that they say, wow, I've got to stop this because nobody's going to stop me. So so I'm going to die if I don't stop.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things the other gentleman mentioned is Al-Anon really helps people make those hard choices about saying you can't stay here if you're going to continue to drink. I'm not going to continue to enable you if you drink. Al-Anon has people there who have that strength to teach you how to do this and make those choices. And I hope she hears you, because I've heard it from other addicts too, is you couldn't make me stop.
No. There's nothing that can be done for these people. And I jumped through hoops for both of these people, like you wouldn't believe, hoping to lead them to what they were always saying about me. You've got the best life. You've got beautiful kids and a great wife and a great home and a great job. Yeah. Well, guess what? You have to work for it.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be handed to you. Daddy can't just pay your bills forever. Right. You know, sooner or later, you're just going to die if you keep this up.
Right.
And he never stopped, and it ended up with him dying. And I don't blame his father. I don't. It's just they're just misguided. They just keep trying to cover for them, and it just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, kindness. What is that saying? Kind to be cruel.
Yeah.
You have to let them go and feel the pain of what they're doing.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story.
You betcha. Thanks.
We have another caller on line one. Jim has a question about pain medications and the services at Park Center. Jim, welcome to Health 360.
Well, thank you very much. My question is, I take tramadol hydrochloride for a cervical laminectomy that I had several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I deal with the pain of that every day, and I have to take my pain meds. Well, at some point in time, I want to get to the point where I don't need the pain meds anymore. So my question is, you know, I'm going to go through withdrawals because tramadol is a morphine-based or an opiate-based pain reliever. So I'm basically addicted because I have to be.
Well, you're going to maybe go through withdrawal. Going through withdrawal doesn't necessarily mean you're addicted. If you have an addiction issue, you have an addiction issue. But even social people who are not addicted people, I guess I should say, have withdrawals when they stop taking a drug like that. Mm-hmm. There are medications available, and your doctor who prescribes it should be able to give you some ideas. If you have an addiction or not, the withdrawal protocol would probably include a medication called Suboxone, which helps. You put it under your tongue and withdrawals cease as the doctor is watching you. And it's a good medication to look at, and then you gradually decrease from that.
Okay.
Also, gradually stopping the tramadol. You don't want to stop one day and then...
Boy, let me tell
you. but there are meds that cause withdrawal for people, whether they have addiction issues or not. And that's something to address with your doctor. Absolutely. There are medications for pain, too. A lot of people don't always understand that. I don't know about you or others, but there are medications that are not narcotic that can help with pain.
Yeah, I pretty much run through
okay,
all of those.
Okay, you've
already,
done
so.
That. But as long as you're following the doctors,
I'm sorry.
Go
as
ahead,
long
Judy.
As you're following the doctor's instructions on how you take it, not taking excess, then when you're ready to stop, you follow the doctor's advice and or get with an addiction therapist or specifically a psychiatrist who can help you detox off of that. And once the Suboxone helps you with that, and once you're done with the Suboxone, it's like a 2-3-4 day flu bug. And you go through that and then you're done. I don't know if that helps.
Well, it does kind of. I didn't know what I was looking at when the time comes, because eventually with, you know, I'm going to start doing some therapy for my neck, and I'm going to do some other things, and hopefully I'll get to a point where I don't need the med anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to a couple of points where I have, let's say I didn't get my script renewed on time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went at like a day or so without the med, and I became... You know, I had a lot of pain. I was taking ibuprofen to cover the pain, but I also noticed that there was not a want for it, but I could feel that there was something else going on.
Uh-huh.
I could feel something else grabbing at me. And right. It was obvious that my body was saying, hey, the tramadol's missing.
Yeah, hello, yeah. Give me some of that stuff, yeah. And so, yeah, there is a line, a webpage, too, for Suboxone programs that you can find.
Okay.
We were doing it for a bit, and we had some issues, and so we're not doing it right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get back doing that for people, whether or not you will probably have to take addiction treatment that generally goes along with the Suboxone by law.
Okay.
But that can also give you an idea to look at what you need to do in the future, too. So you can take advantage of that as well.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, and just want to make sure that this is clear, is talking to your doctor that's prescribing the pain medication is probably the first step. And
absolutely.
And if you want to reach out to those other, you know, there's Park Center and you can give them a call, but probably reaching out to your doctor
absolutely.
First and keeping them up to date. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
We have just a few moments left on today's program, so the phone lines are closed, but if you do have a question or comment that you'd like to get in, please do feel free to email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, and you can also post on our Facebook page with any questions and comments as well. And Judy, it looks like we had another question about eating addiction that might have been missed earlier. Does Park Center also treat those with eating addictions, and how does that compare with other addictions? And we did find out that Park Center does treat those with some eating problems?
I don't think there's as much known about eating addictions. Like, there are certain eating addictions for certain foods, and that's probably not as well known.
Mm-hmm.
Eating addiction is more of a control issue, like bulimia and those types of things. And it's not for a specific food. It doesn't generally work on the same system of dopamine that other addictions work necessarily. So it's not necessarily in our department, there is a place in Park Center where you can get treatment for that. The 481-2700 will help direct you to that. We don't consider that so much part of our area mm-hmm. of expertise.
Okay. But there are resources at Park
Center. Absolutely.
And the website is parkcenter.org. If you'd like to call somebody, pick up the phone and ask a question. That's usually the best way. I'm sure there are lots of people there that would be happy to
absolutely.
Answer any questions anyone has. We have just about a minute left. Judy, any final parting words in a minute?
No.
Want to give the phone number one more time for folks that...
481-2700 for the general number for addictions, 481-2800, and we can hopefully get you in within a day or two if you need treatment. We'd love to have you come in and talk about what kind of issues you may have.
Great. Thank you so much for being a part of Health 360
today.
Thanks
for having me.
This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm, where you can also find this episode of Midday Matters podcasted later on in the afternoon. This is WBOY Fort Wayne. Thanks very much to everybody who called in with your questions and comments. Again, the podcast is available at nipr.fm sometime this afternoon. We're coming up on 1 o'clock. And Fresh Air is up next.